because then there will be dinner. It is my absolute pleasure to introduce this afternoon's keynote speaker. I'm sure he doesn't really need introduction, but this is Professor Roger Watson, who is professor at the University of Hull in a corner of England that nobody really goes through.
Dutch people come through from Humberside Airport.
Of course they do. But Roger is also the editor-in-chief of the Journal of Advanced Nursing. And we've asked him today to talk to us about how some of those gaps can be bridged. I have asked him to be controversial and thought-provoking, and he doesn't ever need to try to do that. So, Roger, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, can we see that? Good. Well, Dave Richards has rather stolen my thunder on the controversial front. I don't think I can match that. And it's not every day you hear the word horseshit in an academic community. Excuse me, but Dave's word, not mine. And I was going to retitle this talk, How to Project a Horseshit, but never mind. But that's what I'm talking about, is projecting your publications. Come in. So, Julie asked me to talk about, I've given the talk, Leaving the Comfort Zone, Publications Without Frontiers, Sans Frontier. And what I'm talking about really is trying to go beyond the normal bounds of publication, which we're all struggling with. It's a hard enough struggle to get into publication when you've got people like me rejecting 80% of the papers that come into us. I know that. But once you get published, you know, what do we do then? There's a great deal that we can do to project our work and get our work read, get our work cited, and so forth. On the assumption that at least some of what we publish is quite good. Not all of it falls into Dave's that description of some of the research that we do. Please come in. So I'm going to assume I'm going to take my jacket off. Is that okay, Julie? Yeah, it's very warm. Yeah, it's the hot air down at this end of the here. Right, so most of us think of publication as being a sort of straightforward, not quite linear road. Submission, and then peer review, and of course I've forgotten to put a little eddy in here, which is rejection. But let's assume it's not getting rejected. And just in case you, wonder about myself, I get rejected as regularly as everybody in this room. I had a meeting with a colleague from Groningen yesterday, and we've been working on a paper for 2 years, you know, and it still hasn't been accepted. It's a brilliant paper. It's just that the editors of the various journals haven't yet realised this. But I also get rejected from my own journal, so don't worry. It's not just you that gets rejected by Jan. I get rejected as well, and I'm very proud of that. One, my editors have no respect for me. Two, we've got a system that allows that. Anyway, so peer review, and then, you know, if things go well, you get to revise your paper, and then it gets resubmitted, and hopefully it doesn't go through too many eddies there. Then it gets accepted, and then bingo, publication. Let some fireworks off. Everybody's glad to get to that stage. And it's usually quite a hard struggle to get there. What I want to talk about is just, you know, that, you know, is going beyond that. It's taking a step off that road into doing things that some of you may already do. I mean, I'll ask, if I remember as I go through, I'll ask how many people do various things. But things that some of you may already do, but things that I do a lot of. And if at the end of this session you come to the conclusion that I'm a blatant self-publicist, you're absolutely right. I don't mind that label. I can't deny it. But I'd like to encourage more people to become a self-publicist, take responsibility for promoting your work. So I'm trying to, you know, get people out of their comfort zone with publishing, which is usually thinking about the next publication, up to where all the magic happens. How do you get out there? And what's the evidence that any of this stuff that I'm going to talk about is any good? I'll take my watch off to make sure I don't go on for too long. Keep an eye on it. So I want us to be that sort of person there who breaks through the barriers. We don't just stop when we get published. We go beyond that, and we do something with our work because we're proud of it, because it's good work, because we want people to read it, we want people to cite it. I'm assuming that because we get published that we do want people to read our work. I'm assuming we do want it to be cited. I think it would be a strange academic who didn't. But the behaviour of some of my colleagues would suggest otherwise. So what I want us to do is to try and become that fish there, not one of these ones here. We've got these guys saying, you know, thinking, all the thinking about next publication. Made it, you know, got published, you know. Promotion, I've got enough papers to get promoted now. What's the impact factor of the journal, you know? What I'd rather be is this guy here goes, hoo-wee, I'm getting away from them. And he's going to land in the next pod just because it's there. He just wants to see, it's beyond there, I'm going to have a look in that. But then he thinks, well, what am I actually going to do now? So that's what I'm going to talk about. What do we do now once we get published? And what can we do around publication to promote it? So I'm going to talk really about social networking for grown-ups, or maybe not such grown-ups. I'm 60 now. I turned 60 a few weeks ago, and I don't feel grown up yet. But by social network, I mean you're using it sort of in a responsible way to promote your work. And again, I don't know how many people are into social networking, having have Twitter accounts or do blogs and all the rest of it, or on Facebook. I can almost predict if I said how many people on Facebook. Lots of hands would shoot up. How many people on Facebook? Yeah, lots. I know you're on Facebook because I've linked to you. And how many people have written a blog? Yeah, Dave, of course. Yeah, one or two. How many people are on Twitter? Oh, good, fantastic. Well, I don't need to talk anymore. You're doing it. You're there. That's good. But are you using it effectively? In terms of using social media, it's a little bit overwhelming. There's lots of different ways to engage. There's lots of different things to do. And I think it's a matter of trying to, I'll come to such strategy at the end. But I think it's a matter of trying to be strategic and trying to find ways that are effective for you and ways that people will actually pick up. So there's all sorts of things. I don't need to go through them all. Microblogs, videos, weblogs, podcasts, and all the rest of it. In fact, you know, if you look at the different types, you know, the sheer number of social media sites, you know, we can recognise a few of them in there, you know, the blogging one, that sort of thing. There's Skype, you know, these are all social networking. There's things like ResearchGate, which I'm happy to talk about ResearchGate if people have got questions. I'm not actually going to mention ResearchGate here, but those are forms of social networking as well. But the sheer scope of social networking sites is just overwhelming, so we need to be strategic and think about one or two, and I've certainly got views on which ones I think we ought to be using. My children seem to use Snapchat all the time, and I've got it on my phone. I haven't got a clue how it works. I don't know what to do. And my 17-year-old daughter just will not show me how it works because she doesn't want me to be embarrassing on it, which I probably would be. So we need to decide, you know, amongst all this, myriad of social networking sites, which ones we're going to use. But I imagine, I was really heartened by the fact that a lot of people put their hand up to say they had a Twitter site and all the rest of it. Quite often I ask that question and not a hand goes up, because many people say they just don't get Twitter, and I don't know what there is to get about Twitter. It's fairly straightforward, you know, it's happening, it's here. I think people really need to get it, and there's nothing much to get about it. You've just got to be very careful how you use it and what you put out and all the rest of it. Okay, so I think, you know, to sort of encourage people to I'm talking specifically about using social network to promote your publications. Not just to say what you did on holiday or whatever or where you are, but all these things are very important too. I mean, I've been tweeting out from this meeting here with the hashtag Ian's 2016, and it's gone out to a few people. I don't know if other people have been doing that, but I've been taking photographs of all the presenters and putting it out. No, that's a good thing to do as well. So there's a couple of papers, what was this paper from? GMI, the Journal of Medical Internet Research. I'm not sure if that's a good journal or not, I don't know, but can tweets predict citations, the metrics of social impact based on Twitter and correlation with traditional metrics of scientific impact? This is a study of correlation. It's not about causation before the statisticians in the room say anything. But, this was the conclusion from the study, basically that highly tweeted articles were 11 times more likely to be highly cited than less tweeted articles. Of course, cause and effect is difficult to disentangle there, but some fairly sophisticated analysis there, using confidence intervals and all the rest of it, and specificity and sensitivity in terms of working out how effective this was. So that's, there is some evidence that this is effective. If you look on the internet, there's lots of evidence there on Google claiming effectiveness, but a lot of it's of a fairly low standard. And another paper, apologies for the... Oh, sorry, this has brought up the concept of twitations instead of citations, and the concept of twimpact, which I love, you know, so measuring your impact through Twitter. I love those words. They're contained in this paper. It is a serious paper. Sorry, I'm going to highlight, I'm going to enlarge a bit of this, don't worry too much, but this is a more recent paper from Transplantation, Social Media and Online Attention as an Early Measure of the Impact of Research on Solid Organ Transplantation. We can't, of course, assume that this works across every field, but again, this is pretty good evidence. The odds of an article being highly cited were significantly increased by mention of social media. Good odds ratio, highly statistically significant. But again, it's a relationship. We can't be sure about the cause and effect. If a paper's good and it's getting attention for scientific reasons, it's also likely to be tweeted as well. However, there's some insight. I would rather not take the chance. I'd rather get out there, as I say, get my retaliation in first on social media and advertise what I'm doing, and then take it from there. And of course, journals have now taken this very seriously, really seriously. Wiley and Elsevier, but particularly Wiley, my own publisher, are very serious about looking at altmetrics. And altmetrics, according to Wikipedia, are a different way of measuring the impact of papers through their mentions on social media. It's hard to know exactly which sites they're using. Twitter, Facebook, and blogging are up at the top. I don't exactly know how the web crawlers gather the information, but we think it's important enough to include altmetric scores along with every published article now in JAN, and it's retrospective as well. And I mean that's 41 for this very interesting editorial by Philip Derbyshire and Dave Thompson on the Thriller Elite, which was the follow-up to The Killer Elite, which got them into a lot of trouble, but which also published in JAN, with altmetrics of 41, and that was very soon after it was published. That's pretty good. It's got much higher altmetrics now, and you can really follow these almost on a daily basis. So we see it as being important enough to put that right on the front page of the journal. We don't put in the citations, we don't put in the impact factor the citations to each journal paper, but we're using the altmetric score. So it's an indication of the interest in the papers. And of course, controversial papers, editorials, things like that get a great deal more interest than scientific papers do. Okay, so various things that you can do. I mean, I think blogging is quite a few hands went up to writing a blog, but blogging's an important way to get your message out there. Short for weblog. There's free online sites on Google. This is the Google Blogger site. Very easy to set up if anybody hasn't set up a blog for themselves. Very easy to set up. You've got to commit yourself to maintain it if you want to, but you don't have to do something every day. You can do things every now and again, but it's not something to fear. You can also pay for blogging sites, being a Scotsman, I tend to use the free ones. And people say, well, you've got to watch the free ones. They might be taken down. They might be edited. They might be changed. I've never had the slightest problem with this site at all. So if you don't like spending money, and I don't, then Blogger's a good way to go. And in fact, we use Blogger for our JAN Interactive blog, which we run. What we do is we take papers and we do a short piece on them with some attractive diagrams, and we put this out through the Twitter site as well. So the great thing is you get a URL from this. You can put it out by Twitter. And what we try to do is pick papers, not every single paper, but to try to pick papers that might be of interest generally. They may not be necessarily the most rigorous or the best scientific papers, I have to say. They may be the ones that are more interesting. And this is a slight bias in using these methods. And to try and write, a short page. I think the biggest hint I can give anybody who wants to get into blogging or who's already into it is to try and keep your blog to within a page or so, not make it too long. There's nothing worse than going to a blog that's page after page and you've got to scroll down because it's quite difficult to read online. Really try and get your message into a short space. And we've been running the blog for a couple of years now, And we've had, you know, thousands of views of the blog. You don't know how many people actually read the whole thing or read the paper, but we've had thousands of views. And it's a, you know, just to emphasise how important blogging can be in terms of reaching an audience. One of my own blogs on teaching anatomy and physiology, which has nothing to do with research or nothing to do with Jan, has had over 100,000 hits in about 3 years. I mean, it's a phenomenal way. The potential is there to reach a lot more people than will ever read a paper in a journal. So we use blogging very deliberately in Jan, and we use it to promote papers we like. We also invite everyone to do a blog piece for us. We invite you to do a YouTube piece for us. We invite you to do a podcast piece for us. I have to say, we're not inundated with those, but these are things that if you're given the offer to do them, why miss the chance? Is this what I don't understand, is people don't seem to take the chance. They almost seem too shy to promote their work. I'd really like to encourage people to do that. Elsevier do exactly the same thing. They give you the opportunity to promote your paper on social media. And, you know, doing a blog is the easiest way. Podcasting's a piece of cake. All you need is a recorder, like I'm using just now, with MP3 files, and doing YouTube is, if you've got a camera there, absolutely a piece of cake, as they say. It's an English expression. I mean, it's very easy. So I'm just saying, these things are very easy to do, and maybe I'm a little bit over-obsessed with them, but say, you know, there you go. So what I want to, you know, towards the end is just talking about making it work, having a strategic approach to this. It's all very well to have all these networking sites and such like, but how are we going to use them effectively to get our work out there? So I think the thing is that, you know, is to be to not to run your social networking sites in isolation, so to think about linking them up. For example, it's very easy to link Twitter to Facebook. You can go into the settings and do it. So every tweet you put up can appear on your Facebook page. We don't have a Facebook page for Jan yet. I'm pushing to get one, but we'll get there eventually. While we're a little bit conservative with Facebook. But you don't actually need to do anything with a Facebook page if you link it to Twitter, because it automatically goes up there. And it actually looks better on the Facebook page than it does in the Twitter site, because it produces a nice link and often a nice photograph along with it. So I'd really encourage people to do that. But, and of course, you know, you say, well, why not just do it through Facebook? But Twitter's quite handy and easy to use, rather easier than Facebook. Try to develop a strategy, which I'll come to, for promoting your work and your profile. Decide what your essential content is. Decide what it is that you want to say. You know, if you've got your own personal Twitter site or Facebook site, you know, you really want to mix up professional stuff and personal stuff. I do. I don't see any harm, as long as you're not saying anything that's too controversial or whatever. But some people like to sort of separate them out. But you do need to decide what it is you're putting out. And, you know, decide how you're going to get it out there. And I'm going to come to that in a few minutes. So there was some really good advice. And by the way, these slides are, I think, they're on my file share if anybody wants them. I'll show you where that is at the end. But there's a really good paper just came out as I was writing this at the end of the year by a Times, THE Times Higher Education newspaper in the UK. Matthew Rees, one of the journalists, interviewed people in academia using social media. And Times Higher has its own social media pages, its own Twitter site, and it does a lot of work on using social media, and came up with 10 top tips, all of which I absolutely agree with. So I'm just going to go through them. Not the most exciting way to give a presentation, but all of these points are very salient. Think through carefully what it is you want to achieve by engaging with social media. I think, you know, don't set up social media sites or too many of them, and then, well, what am I actually going to do with it now? I think you've got to be clear that you're using it to promote yourself and promote your work, and you've got to commit a little bit of time to doing that. You know, for example, on the journal, I'm committed every time a new contents list comes out to tweeting out every single paper. You know, we've got social media's editor who does other things with them after that. But, you know, that's my commitment, and certainly my own commitment is to tweet out links to my own publications every now and again. So think what you want to achieve by engaging with it. I think for academics, it's promoting your work essentially. Try to do it as part of your normal working life. This is the other thing. So people often say, I don't have time for social media, I don't have time to do this. You know, most people say, you know, a lot of my colleagues say, I don't have time to write papers. Well, you do have time to write papers. You've always got 5 minutes before lunch, 5 minutes after, sitting, you know, with a mobile phone, you can be sitting on a bus or whatever. You know, we all sit in the airport lounges and we sit listening to people like me talking, and people are on their phones now tweeting away. That's fine. You know, there's always time to do it. So I think you've got to work it into your working life, a little bit like writing for publication. Something that should be normalised. So try and get a sense of advantages and disadvantages of different platforms. I'm very much still in favour of Twitter. I mean, it's by far the biggest, Facebook's bigger, but Twitter's slightly older and still very big, and I'm sure it's going to be there for a while yet. I think, you know, Twitter's the one that most people use. There's no point in using Vimeo or whatever it is if nobody else uses it. So I think you've got to be focused on the ones that people are using. Twitter, Facebook, blogging. And, you know, be realistic. I mean, it's the same point, really. Be realistic about the time that is available to you. Don't get yourself overcommitted. I don't think anybody should ever feel stressed by social networking and promoting their work. It should be a pleasure to do. It should be something that you do normally. But don't spread yourself across too many things. And we do have a lot of options. I mean, ResearchGate is another social networking one. For example, it's very similar to academia.edu, which I still am on, but I've just given up on that one altogether and I focus on ResearchGate, because that's the big one now. I think you've got to be strategic and decide, well, this one's actually fading and this one's actually better than that. So, you know, focus on things that make it easy for you to link and put things out. Also be aware of who might see what you're putting out, but I think you've got to be courageous. I mean, some people are afraid of putting stuff out on Twitter. They don't know what to say. What if somebody reads it? Well, that's the idea. But seriously, this is what people get. I've got colleagues who put things out on Twitter, and I've seen it, and then they've deleted it. I was afraid somebody might read it. Don't put out your home address, and don't put out anything offensive or whatever. You know, you can get in trouble for that, especially if you're doing it through your work or through some professional involvement. You know, just be careful. Be courageous. But don't be silly. But don't be, as it says, don't be paralysed by thinking about it. And make your, you know, if you do something on social media, make it easy to find. You know, I'll show you how I do that later on, unashamedly using myself as a paradigm of virtue here. But you know, make them easy to find. Don't hide them away. If you write something, promote it. Get it out there. As soon as you've written a blog, stick it out on Twitter. You know, I'm very much, Julie and I were talking about this last night over a drink. You know, for example, and my UK colleagues will understand this, it may not have any resonance elsewhere in Europe, but I'm very much in favour of the government's present move to do away with bursaries for nursing students in the UK. Now, it's a complicated thing, you may think, why is that? I'm not going to get into it. But I wrote a blog about it. It's been picked up by the BBC's senior health correspondent, and I'm going to be interviewed on BBC Radio in a week's time. You know, so, you know, just like that. Just it was noticed. She follows me on Twitter. So, you know, it's not just your own research work, but it's a way of getting your ideas out there. Always put in tags. It gives the opportunity to give the keywords. Always do that. That helps things to be found. Conference presentations, you know, things like that. What I do is I record my conference presentations and put them out in a podcast, you know, and I don't know if anybody listens to them, but I do. So my wife's comment on my podcasts was, the shorter ones are much better than the longer ones. And make sure, just as I'm doing now, make sure people know about your blog. You know, be proud of it. Tell people about it. I'm astonished. I was astonished the other day to find that one of my colleagues is on Twitter, and I didn't know. I just happened to see her Twitter handle at the bottom of an email, and I went into her site. She does lots of great stuff. Well, she never told anybody about it. She didn't tweet anything around the department or put it out. You know, so be proud of it. You can set up automated links on Twitter to put out things as they come out. You can set up timing. There's all sorts of things you can do on Twitter. I wouldn't say this is all exactly crucial, but you can also set up automatic links from podcasts, from YouTube, and from blogs, which automatically go out on Twitter as well. These are all good things to do. You've got to remember that they go out automatically, so you've got to make sure that what you're writing is, when you press the publish button, make sure it's good quality. And if you use Twitter to promote a blog, you know, make sure the title is self-explanatory. But Twitter's a really good discipline. I hope they don't increase the character number. I think 140 characters is a great discipline. And I've found that there's absolutely nothing that you can't say in 140 characters. So make sure it's explanatory. Don't make it obscure. So, I forgot to ask if there was sound and vision on this, but it doesn't really matter. But I've got embedded a YouTube link there and I've embedded a podcast link there, but I don't think we'll be able to hear you with our sound system here, so I won't bother with that. But what I wanted to do for the last couple of overheads was talk about a strategic way of linking all this up. So there are three slides. It's very complicated, this. Took me a long time to draw it. Red means sending stuff out, and the next slide, green, means embedding things in. So I think you've got to be aware. This is not working. There we go. You know, you can put your, for example, LinkedIn's another reasonable one to be involved with too. But you know, you can embed your YouTubes on LinkedIn. You can put them out on Twitter. You can get your publications and metrics out on Twitter. Your blog can go out on Twitter. You can put your website on your Twitter page. You can put LinkedIn. Actually, you can't link it to Twitter now, but you used to be able to, but you can't now. But you can still put things out from LinkedIn on Twitter if you want to, and you can put podcast links onto Twitter as well. So that's a strategy for putting things out, and all of these things reach the general public. Twitter, people log in, or in fact, people don't have to log in. Anybody can see your Twitter feed by finding the handle on Google. So that's a way of reaching out and getting to the public. Anybody can see that. You can, of course, use email to do it, but that's very selected. That's only the people to whom you send it. I think it's also very important to embed all that you do in places where people can find it and come across it as a matter of course. So you can embed YouTube in your website by putting the link there. You can embed your blog in your website, publications and metrics, things like publicationlist.org or Researcher ID or any of these things can be embedded there. You can embed blogs and emails and publication metrics, and there's really no limit to what you can embed. Twitter, give your Twitter handle in your email if you want to. You can put your Twitter site on your website. LinkedIn, you know, all these things, and podcasts can also be embedded on your website. So you can actually gather all that you do together and make it available in one place. So every time somebody looks for you on the internet, for example, find your web page, your university web page, which we should all have, they can find these things quite easily if your university is willing to be as adaptable as Hull is in this way. So all that looks like that in the end. You know, it just looks like General Custer's last stand, arrows flying everywhere. You've got the public, selected people reading your email and the public reading your Twitter feed. But don't forget, there's a lot of collateral. If you do it this way, a lot of collateral public attention can be gained, because LinkedIn, websites, blogs, these are all in the public domain. So if you link things together, you can get, you can reach a fairly big audience there. And certainly, since I've started doing this with my own blogs, I've noticed the hits going up on them. The only thing you don't know is how many people are actually reading them. By the way, with blogs, you can follow blogs, and many people say, so many people follow my blog. Most people don't follow blogs, actually. Most people just read the blogs they find. So I wouldn't worry about trying to get people to follow your blog. Following people on Twitter is a different matter, but I wouldn't worry about trying to get people to follow you on a blog. What you need to do is get it out there to make sure they read that specific entry you're interested in, not the blog as a whole. So, to finish off, using myself as an example, that's me. What I've got on my this is my landing page at the University of Hull. I've got my blog, which is not my personal blog. This is my Sigma Theta Tau blog that somebody mentioned to me earlier. It's up there. I've got a link to Google Scholar, which is another kind of social networking site. It's a good way of automatically keeping up with your citations and getting them out there. I've got a list of publications online using publicationslist.org, which gives you a URL, automatically takes you to your publications. I've got my Researcher ID and my ORCID site there, again, all sort of social networking things which I haven't had time to talk about in detail. I've also got SlideShare there as well. So every PowerPoint that I do, I put up on SlideShare through LinkedIn, and it's available for anybody to look at or download. And this one, as I say, is up there already. The research ones is a different link altogether. So, as I say, your university may or may not allow you to do this kind of thing, but if they do, I think it's a very handy way to do it. And I know that people comment that they actually find it quite handy to find, certainly to look for slides and look for publications. So that's really all I've got to say. I'm happy to take a few questions if you want about this or any aspect of the publishing industry. But that's all, folks. That's my email if people want to abuse me afterwards. That's my Twitter handle, Journal of Advanced Nursing, with 13,000 followers. Nursing Open, the other journal I edit, we're struggling to get up to about 1,000 followers. It just shows you how different journals are much more popular, and my orchid number of people want to find out what I do by way of research. So thanks very much, and I'm happy to take any questions. No. Yeah. No.